I'm Dr. Howie Jacobson, and this is the Plant Yourself Podcast. Each week, I bring you a conversation with someone who's making a positive difference in the world. And for my day job, I help leaders and their teams master their mindsets so they can achieve great things. To find out more, check out the Mindset Mastery Memo, my Substack newsletter. You can find it at plantyourself.com/memo. And now, today's show. I'm Dr. Howie Jacobson, and this is the Plant Yourself Podcast. Each week, I bring you a conversation with someone who's making a positive difference in the world. And for my day job, I help leaders and their teams master their mindsets so they can achieve great things. To find out more, check out the Mindset Mastery Memo, my Substack newsletter. You can find it at plantyourself.com/memo. And now, today's show. This is the Plant Yourself Podcast. I'm Howard Jacobson of plantyourself.com, the Big Change Program with Josh Lajani, and WellStart Health. This podcast is part of my mission to help you live a well and wonderful life. So when we individually are struggling to improve our health, to change our habits and our behaviors, it's easy to view it as a very personal, individual thing. And the truth is, our caveman and cavewoman ancestors didn't have this problem. And our peasant ancestors didn't have this problem, and our hunter-gatherer ancestors didn't have this problem. So what's happened? Have our genes suddenly changed? I don't think that's very likely. It's our environments that have changed, right? We are living in what Boyd Swinburne calls obesogenic societies. We're living in cultures where the easiest thing in the world is to overconsume highly palatable, fractionated, fake foods, to sit on our butts and avoid natural human movement, to spend our lives in air-conditioned boxes and vehicles and never being exposed to the elements, to avoid contact with real nature, to disturb our sleep patterns with electrical lights and strange schedules. And all of this together creates a perfect storm for obesity and chronic disease. And nowhere is that perfect storm more perfect than in the typical American workplace. You know, we sit all day hunched over, staring at monitors. The food in the cafeteria or when we go out to eat with colleagues is extremely tempting and unhealthy. More and more of us are working longer and longer hours under more and more stress. And the American healthcare system, which is largely funded by employers, has no idea how to deal with this, right? We've got wellness programs that give you little pablums like take the stairs, not the elevator, and take the skin off of your chicken breast and have a little bit of extra salad and go for a 2-minute walk here and there. And even those well-meaning ideas are only being acted upon by those in the organization who are already healthy. And then you've got the whole health insurance mess, which doesn't do anything to prevent people from getting these diseases in the first place. And when they once they've got them, encourages overtreatment and use of very questionable therapies, including drugs that may affect biomarkers, but don't improve outcomes at all, and a lot of treatments that frankly make things worse. So about a year and a half ago, I had on the podcast Olivia Kelly, who had just founded a company called WellStart Health, that was looking to tackle the chronic disease epidemic through real lifestyle change and to bring it to a large audience through a high-tech, high-touch digital platform. Now, the real question was, could a company like that make money by helping people get well, as opposed to the current model in which companies like drug companies, insurance companies, hospital systems make money by keeping people sick and just managing their diseases with ever more expensive treatment options. So I was real intrigued after having that conversation with Olivia. We've kept in touch, and we started working together when Josh Lajani and I put together the Big Change Program, and we were looking for an online platform that would allow us to do our coaching and teaching in a way that could reach lots of people and not drive us crazy. And From there, things naturally sort of evolved to the point where Josh and I were in talks with Olivia and her chief medical officer and co-founder, Bojana Jankovic-Weatherly, to actually merge, to bring the big change program, which we had been doing on a very small, you know, business to consumer scale, and really take it to corporations, take it to the places that need it the most, to big companies with lots of employees, many of whom are sick, many of whom are on very expensive treatment regimens. And for most of these companies, the healthcare costs are the second biggest line item after payroll. So the healthcare crisis, which is so unnecessary, which is based on so many faulty assumptions and perverse incentives, is pretty much responsible for destroying the middle class and pretty much responsible for destroying the American dream for a lot of people, both in terms of the $3 trillion annually that are being funneled from ordinary people's pockets into the healthcare industry, and in terms of the lower quality of life that people are experiencing because they're getting sicker and sicker at a younger and younger ages. So after much deliberation and soul searching, Josh and I decided to join WellStart Health as co-founders. Josh is the chief brand officer, and I am the chief behavioral science officer. So on today's podcast, we've brought together Josh and Bojana and Olivia and myself for a conversation about what we're up to, about why it's important. And, you know, if you're a fan of the podcast, a fan of my work, a fan of moving the plant-based lifestyle into the mainstream, then it's a chance for you to hear what we're up to and possibly lend us a hand. So without further ado, Olivia Kelly, Bojana Jankovic-Weatherly, and Josh Lajani, welcome to the Plant Yourself podcast.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah. Great to be here.
So this is the first four-person podcast I've ever done, but luckily we are on video so we can see each other's faces. And the reason we're here is this is my gig now. The four of us are WellStart Health. And a lot of people who listen to the podcast kind of occasionally want to know, like, what am I up to? And can I tell some of my story? And, you know, people want to know, like, what's up, what's going on in my life. And what's going on in my life is you guys and this company. And so the goal of this podcast is partly to just share with you fine listeners, like, what I'm up to and why I think it's the most important thing in the world I can be doing. I want to introduce you to my fabulous team that I've chosen to do this with, and also hopefully to spread the word about what we're up to, so that if you have any sort of ability to help us on that mission, you'd be inclined to do so. So let's start with you, Olivia. You're the founder and the CEO of WellStart Health. Tell us, well, you've been on the podcast probably like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago or something, but just bring us up to date on what you're up to and what you were thinking when you started this whole thing.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, I think it was probably about a year and a half ago, and a lot of great and exciting and promising things have happened since then. I'm not sure if it was because of being on the podcast, but you never know. So correlation, causation question, but anyway, so yeah, we've been, since founding WellStart, which was late 2015, we've basically been up to recruiting participants for preclinical pilots, running pilot programs, seeing a lot of success with people really improving their health in a short period of time with the guidance of physicians, dietitians, health coaches, and all of the resources, articles and so forth that we've given them, and having an opportunity to discuss the journey in a group setting. And of course, at first we had no technology. Everything was piecemeal. Since then, we've built some awesome technology with help from our CTO, John Salzarulo. And we continue to iterate on that technology, as you know, because you've been a part of that process. And so then we've raised a significant amount of our seed round of funding through Launchpad Digital Health in San Francisco. So in this past space of over a year, Bojana has come on board. And then more recently, you guys very recently, which is so exciting to have, I think, all of us with our very, very complementary skill sets and personalities to be able to basically take chronic disease prevention, mitigation, and reversal and scale it to millions of people right now, focused on the US and then eventually many other parts of the world where we're exporting chronic disease. So let's now also hopefully export the solution.
So let's draw the a connecting line. So everyone who listens to this podcast knows that the way we eat and live can prevent and reverse the common chronic diseases that that disable and kill us. Draw the line between that and what WellStart is up to, just for someone who has no idea what we do.
Right. So So what we're eating, the way we're eating, the way we're generally not moving, and the way we're generally not coping well with stress are all things that are really, really damaging to our health on an individual level. And then of course, as a population. So what we're trying to do is help through coaching, through physician guidance, through dietitian guidance, and through a whole slew of support resources, and as well as technology and really leveraging technology to help with deliver all of those things, help people get on track to where they know, everyone knows they should eat healthy and move around, but that doesn't really cut it, because what does that actually mean? So we help people unpack, what does that mean specifically? What do people need to be doing? They need to be eating a lot more unprocessed plant-based foods. They need to be moving around a lot more. They need to have social connection and support. So all of these things are resources that we help people have at their fingertips, and also to make them the center of their own health. I like to say the CEO of their own health, so that they're not relying upon outside and external resources, but they're actually taking control of their own well-being. So we help them do that through all of the modalities I mentioned. And many people don't have to be living with the diseases that they're living with. Oftentimes they can heavily mitigate or really reverse the condition, reduce or go off medications many times, avoid procedures that they may have had to have otherwise, and just feel so much better and energetic and have a new lease on life. And we've seen many, many people achieve that through WellStart and through the Big Change program. And so the idea is to bring that to as many people as humanly possible that are open to doing it, because why not live your best life?
And can you talk a little bit about the corporate part, where workplace wellness? You know, we've seen Amazon and Warren Buffett and now Apple and different organizations like, we've got to take care of healthcare. Like, why? Yeah. You know, companies right now, we know that healthcare is a mess. How are you seeing WellStart playing in that marketplace, in that field right now?
Yeah. So companies are spending their second biggest line item after payroll is healthcare, and it continues to increase dramatically every year, their costs. And big companies basically put up the money to pay for their employees' healthcare. We call that self-insured or self-funded. And so for those companies, we want to help them by helping their populations not just drink more water or take the stairs, which is great, but for the people who are living with a chronic disease or maybe want more than one, it's not that simple. They need, we need to provide a well-being program for people who are already sick, who are costing, you know, probably the 20% of an employee population that is costing over 80% of the healthcare dollars for that company. Those are the people that we want to help not just take the stairs, but get dramatically better, saving companies a lot of money, helping improve employee well-being, productivity, the overall workplace culture. So it's, yes, there's a lot of noise around wellness and well-being, but we're really much more than that. We're about fundamentally changing the approach and the health, hopefully, of many, many people in the workforce.
Gotcha. Hey, could you introduce our doctor?
Yeah, I would like to introduce my lovely co-founder and chief medical officer, Dr. Bojana Jankovic-Weatherly.
Hi. Thank you for having us, Howard. And It's really such a pleasure to be here. I'm going to tell you a little bit sort of about my background and then how I merged with WellStart and how Olivia and I started working together. I'm a board certified internist and trained in the conventional medical setting. And very quickly, I mean, it doesn't take long to realize that that in the current healthcare system, physicians and other practitioners are simply not well supported to help people truly transform their lifestyle habits, including their eating, their sleep, their stress management, their movement. We know exactly what to tell people and what guidelines recommend. And sure, in some cases, there might be some disagreement about which particular diet or which particular type of exercise training, but we all agree that more plants are better. We all agree that more movement is better, of course, unless somebody has a medical contraindication, that at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night is better, that social support is better, and that stress management is important. But where the problem lies is that it's very difficult to implement that in a clinical setting when you have 15 minutes with a patient who maybe already has chronic disease, or maybe they have they're at risk of chronic disease. They're coming to you with a specific problem or for an annual physical exam. There are symptoms to review. There are medications to review. There are a number of other elements to do. And then most physicians probably get just a few minutes to kind of go over somebody's diet and do a bit of counseling. And that is not how, I mean, Howard, you know this, I think more than anybody else, you did your PhD in psychology, but that is not how we change habits. That is not an effective way to change habits long-term. And so as I was practicing primary care at Cedars-Sinai, I started to voice some of these concerns and started an initiative to try to address some of these areas, presented it to my CEO, and several months later, my CEO and Olivia had a meeting, and he literally called me in the middle of my clinic day and said, "I just met your twin. You guys need to meet. When are you available?" And so I said, "Oh, well, this afternoon, you know, after I finish seeing patients." And so Olivia and her former co-founder that she worked with at the time came to my office, and we had a lovely conversation. And at that time, they had done their first pilot where they provided support and guidance to people at risk of or who currently have chronic disease, such as diabetes or high blood pressure. And they showed me some of their results. And I was really impressed because these people were able to lose weight over a period of 8 weeks. They were able to lose weight. Their blood pressures went down. Their hemoglobin A1C went down. They felt happier. And I thought, okay, there's something to this. This is a way to make things work. And as we started to talk more and more, I really started to research this on my own as well. And I researched plant-based diets and really looked into some of the great body of evidence when it comes to both health coaching programs as well as plant-based or plant-forward diet programs, and realized that this was far superior to anything that we're doing in the clinical setting currently, far superior to the standard of care. And yet nobody really has access to this. Not very many people are engaging in or offering these sorts of programs.
When you were trained as a physician, were you trained in counseling, even if you had the time?
So we did receive some training in motivational interviewing. And we did, one of the great things actually that my understanding is that this is now present in most, if not all, medical schools, is that you do get observed in how you counsel patients and how you discuss. So you do get some training in this, but it's really mostly based on motivational interviewing. But honestly, even the people who are best at this, they just simply don't have the time. I think time is just the biggest factor, because when you're having to deal with somebody who's coming in for a sick visit, but you realize, oh, and they also have diabetes and their last hemoglobin A1C was above the expected range, and I really should discuss with them their diet and such, but they came in for other problems and I only have 15 minutes. What do I do? And you sort of get into that, a bit of that, not necessarily panic mode, but just like you get through your to-do list and then time's up. So when are you going to do your motivational interviewing or any other skills that you may have to really help that patient? And I do have to say, I mean, emphasis is, I think we're great at treating people who are sick, who are in the hospitals, who are in the ICUs. But when it comes to prevention and when it comes to, hey, how can we help you get off of these meds and lose some weight and feel happy again, help with your meds, so many other things that are, and other chronic diseases that are correlated, there's definitely a lack of time, some training, but not sufficient, and just lack of emphasis overall. Those are just not the metrics, unfortunately, that physicians are judged on.
What you're describing sounds like a recipe for like low career satisfaction. Like you have these doctors who I'm sure go into it not thinking, hey, I'm going to make a fortune, even though they know they're going to get well compensated. But every doctor I know, when they were, they were young and idealistic, they're like, I want to help people. They all have a relative that they can think of. And it sounds like, especially when you're given the tools and not the time or resources or support to use them, it sounds like it could become a fairly miserable grind.
Well, I think, what I've experienced is that I think you're absolutely right. We go into medicine wanting to save lives, improve people's lives, connect with people. And unfortunately, what it can be a lot of the times is just sort of, you're engaged with your electronic medical record rather than being engaged with the patient and making that eye contact and making that connection about things that really matter. And then again, just the way that the medical records are set up and the way that these metrics are set up is that you end up sort of checking off boxes, and it's easy to fall into that pattern. And I think that that definitely, if you don't set aside that time to really connect with a patient and at least, maybe uncover one little thing at a visit and maybe just uncover, make some connection and try to find some common ground or help them gain some insight about their own behavior, even if it's just for a limited period of time, I think it's absolutely easy to get burnt out and to feel like you're in a dialogue with your computer and your medical record rather than with your patient. Absolutely.
Yeah, I also want to say that I don't know a lot of doctors who've been doing this for a while whom I would characterize as healthy.
Right, right.
So even if you did get the time and you did have the capability to counsel, there's a kind of awkwardness around, well, I'm not doing it, but you should.
Right, right, absolutely. I think it's very difficult to counsel on things. And of course, none of us are, we all have our goals and wishes and our weak spots. But overall, I think it's very difficult to counsel someone on a healthy diet, regular movement, and adequate sleep, stress management, when we're having extreme difficulties in those areas ourselves. And I think that, again, just going back to the problem of physician burnout, and absolutely, if you're burnt out, even though you may have the whole set of skills and the best of intentions and might be an amazing doctor, it's going to be difficult to get the message across when you haven't carved out the time to practice some of these habits yourself. I think that's kind of what you're getting at.
Yeah, which I think brings me to exhibit 3, Josh. you're sort of, patient zero for turning your own life and health around in ways that it's very hard to argue with. So, I think the listeners to this podcast, those who've been listening for a while, know your story. You've been on two or three previous episodes. If not, I'll put them all in the show notes for people to check up on. Why don't you give us just like a 30-second introduction to who you are and like what you see in this partnership?
Yeah, well, I'm Josh. I grew up in South Louisiana, and one thing we know even more familiar with it than food and alcohol is the current sort of healthcare paradigm. We seem to be in and out of the hospital a lot, going to the doctors a lot, different specialists, whether it's back or whatever, a back problem or a cardiovascular problem usually. Like, that's the reality I grew up in was, we work hard, we live hard, we play hard, we have a good time, we eat a lot and drink a lot while we do it. But also we spend a lot of time in ICUs or at doctor's offices with different ailments. And so I grew up in that reality. And I saw my grandfather go through, all of that whole progression throughout the standard American life of you get a little heavier, you get a little sicker, you take a little more pills, you go to more doctors, you get a little older, you get a little sicker. And somewhere in the middle, as I was watching all of that, I was becoming that my very self. I had 32 years old. I found myself about 420 pounds. An ex-football player with an injury that kept him from getting out and moving, and in a social paradigm, cultural paradigm that really sort of kept me in love with food, and not only in love with the taste of the food and the community around it and what boiling crawfish meant and all of those things. And I found myself right in the middle of becoming the same thing. And through just a series of like lucky chances in my life, I got inspired in, I guess, a way that other people don't. I still don't understand why things clicked for me and didn't click for other people, that I've seen throughout my life. But I think it was just a perfect blend of me actually going to school and getting educated a little bit as an older guy in my 30s. And I took things to heart in a different way, got a little bit more pragmatic. The Saints winning the Super Bowl, my wife marrying me, some things that were really awesome in my life. Me getting my degree really sort of made me feel like it was possible for Josh to do something different. But what did different mean, At that time, I just started moving more and eating less, eventually fell into running, and that led me into a plant-based diet through Rich Roll and Scott Jurek and all of the icons in running and ultra running, and I became in love with that movement of the human body. It just made good sense to me that it was just the most essential, perfect human thing to do, to run around and cover territory. Is just, and so that falling into that sort of rabbit hole really brought me to you, Howard. That's where I wound up, reading Hole and learning about who Howard Jacobson is, and one day actually, having him friend me on Facebook, and that was a surreal experience. And lo and behold, here I am with what has turned out to be answers that people want. How did you do it? I've lost 230 pounds. I've become an ultra marathoner. Now I find myself being an advocate for not only a plant-based diet, but for getting outside and using bipedal locomotion to connect with your essential humanity. And how can I, like what you were talking about, Boyana, be a part of that part that's missing in the prevention part, right? We all go to the doctor and we get the pill or we get the bandage or we get the device or we get the procedure. But in the lobby, you know, it should be like this ubiquitous thing. We should always be addressing the food and the lifestyle. Every chance that a person is sitting still inside of that. Anyway, and I don't know how to be a part of that, other than what we're doing here. That's what strikes me as something so valuable, is how we're able to take these things that I've learned, and then you guys are a lot smarter than me, and you've come to the same conclusions. And so it really emboldens me in my like decision to go with it. And so to be able to take that knowledge, have friends around me who can really talk about the science in a way that makes sense and doesn't just sound like some dude from Chag Bay regurgitating something abstract he read somewhere on the internet, right? It's just an extremely exciting time for me to be able to be part of a team. I really feel so inadequate in so many ways when it comes to like education and background and like all of these different things. But it does feel like a way, like a leverage point, if you will, to be able to actually reach, you know, friends that are might be on an oil rig or on a seagoing vessel or work in a pipeline somewhere, or you never, like, I have friends all over the place who don't have the luxury. They didn't have a Bam Bam. So Bam Bam allowed me to be able to be self-employed, and I can explore a lot of these things and maybe figure out how to help guys who are stuck in these employment situations to do some of the same things that I've been able to implement in my life. And I feel like the technology and a lot of the things that we've been working on is has a huge potential to be a tool for those guys. And that is something that just kind of sets my hair on fire as a concept, as an idea.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I love about working with you is that you represent a demographic that, frankly, you know, the plant-based movement hasn't really figured out how to reach, and arguably could benefit the most. So if someone's sort of, you know, upper east side of Manhattan, and they're having their, you know, Whole Foods delivered meals, but they're also having a bunch of meat, and then we can certainly make huge improvements in people's lives. But when you look at, like, you know, the folks that you know who don't go to Whole Foods, who don't go to Plant Stock, who, like, they've, like, you know, in the Missing Chins Run Club, which you helped to co-found, like, they got that from you and from other people in the community. And, you know, one of the things that I love about what we're doing, just in terms of a business plan, and I'd love for Olivia to speak to this, is, like, where can we get the biggest bang for the buck for what we're doing? And it seems to be precisely sort of, you know, blue collar jobs and industries that have been really left out of the conversation about lifestyle.
Yeah. Is that a question for me?
Yes.
Yes. It's true. I mean, certainly, you know, it's in some ways, poor health has been a great equalizer, in that it's really transcending socioeconomic strata. It's everybody of all walks who are facing these same challenges and issues. But yes, for sure, I think a lot of people in manufacturing, I think the healthcare workforce, I think the transportation workforce, all of those types of workers they're on a job for a long time. It has physical, you know, ramifications for them, oftentimes just the work that they're doing. They don't have access to healthy food. They don't have access to stress management and things like that. And often they're siloed in whatever they're doing. Maybe they work weird shifts or they work alone. So they don't have the social support network either. And so a lot of those folks are the people that we really want to help, because they need a lot of help, and we can be there with them wherever they go, through our technology and through our remote coaching and virtual visits and things like that. So, and those are people who are also costing many, many healthcare dollars to their employer. So of course, hopefully the employer cares about their employees' quality of life, but even if they don't, they're going to care about the bottom line. And that bottom line is being severely injured by the way things are going right now.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about the way things are going right now? Because I came into this very naive. And, you know, when we started talking maybe 6 or 7 months ago, I just had this idea like, oh, well, we have a better way of doing things. Of course, everyone will jump on it just because that's how capitalism works. When you come up with a better mousetrap, everyone wants to abandon the old mousetrap. And, you know, and Boyana has talked about obstacles to doctors doing what is in the best interest of patients and doctors. What are some of the obstacles that that the industry, like, why aren't things better already? Why do we need to, you know, to get on our bicycles and pedal as fast as we can?
Right. Well, I think, unfortunately, capitalism isn't always as efficient as we hope it will be. And I think that, you know, healthcare isn't a typical marketplace, and it's treated like one here in our country. So we spend $3.4 trillion on healthcare every year. That's almost 20% of our GDP. Over 85% of that, or around 85% of that, goes to chronic disease management. So most of the zillions of dollars that we're spending on healthcare doesn't need to be spent if we can help people address the root causes of their diseases, which, of course, food is the number one cause. And it's not people's fault. I mean, they are inundated with, they're basically walking through a minefield of really poor choices that big food has thrust upon us. And there's not a lot people can do if they don't have access or education. They need some guidance to know that there are affordable ways and accessible ways to eat better. They just need to know how to do it. So I think, we're in a really huge quagmire right now, and the healthcare costs, the trajectory, the way it's going right now, is just completely unsustainable. Employees could be getting so much more money in their pocket if their employer wasn't spending so much of their salaries on healthcare. And so that's just one example, but healthcare is bankrupting families. I mean, people really run out of money because of the medical bills that they have to pay, and they don't know that there is another way. And for many, they're far down the line, and maybe for them, there isn't a way, but there's so many people who we can get to before it gets to that point for them. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what we all want to do.
Right. So this is great in theory, but does it work?
Well, of course it works. I mean,
of course, that was the softball question.
Is everybody going to do it? No, not everyone is going to do it, but having it, you know, that be an excuse like, oh, well, not everyone's going to do it, it's going to be hard to get people to do, is not a good one, not a good excuse. If patients and you know, just individuals are not given the option, then how can they ever make that choice? They need to be able to make an informed choice about how they want to live their lives. And they're often not given that choice because many times in the clinical setting, their clinician doesn't know themselves to be able to offer that choice. So if someone is willing to try something new, embrace something different, would rather live a longer, not just longer, but a healthier life, be able to minimize risk, be able to minimize procedures they might need, be able to minimize medications, many of which have terrible side effects, then if they're willing to try something new that we've demonstrated not only in our preclinical programs, but many others have demonstrated in an over 40-year body of evidence has demonstrated, if they're willing to try it, it will work if they're willing to get on board. Hmm. I think Josh and his over 50 missing chins club members and his many, many family members, and then many, many other people outside of that circle who we know have made major lifestyle change are testament to that.
Right. And Boyana, I'm curious what you've been practicing, even within all the constraints of your profession, you've been practicing this sort of lifestyle medicine. What have you seen in your patients? Like how do you manage to, do you get them to change, and what do you see?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think it just really highly varies on the person. I think one of the things with this program is that people who are already interested or maybe early on in their stages of change where they have some level of readiness to make a change, they're going to come to WellStart or another program and have some level of openness. When you look at just the general population who comes to me as a primary care provider, not because I also am focused on lifestyle or because I'm going to talk to them about stress management and diet and exercise, who just come to me because they're sick or they need a physical exam or they just need a provider, you get a broad range of readiness and interest in change. And I think that, again, as a provider, one of the things that's the most important to me is that we establish rapport and trust so that they come back and we can continue working in small steps. Again, another thing that we already talked about is that as a provider in one-on-one visits, I cannot give them the benefit of a support group and of people who have already done it or who are also who are in the same boat who are thinking about doing that. That could be helpful, but I can certainly, if I see that there's an openness, I can certainly tell them about some of the evidence, some of the research evidence. I can tell them about successful cases, about people who have done it, who have tried, who have done it, and who have had a sustainable result when it comes to weight loss and improvement in diabetes. Or if there's no readiness, simply just building trust and rapport. And examining, again, one of the things that Olivia mentioned is the root cause. Well, why is there not a readiness? Is there depression? Is there a lack of sleep and other life stressors and work stressors and family stressors where the last thing on their mind is like, oh, I want to be healthier and try to figure out my diet. There are a lot of other layers and a lot of other areas to address. So my approach is that I really assess as best as I can where my patient is, build rapport, work with them, show that I'm available and ready and excited to talk about some of these things, but ultimately that I'm always going to meet them where they're at. Because if I try to push a certain agenda, well, you should be healthier and we need to get these medications off your list, they're not going to come back. I'm going to make them feel bad. I'm going to make them feel guilty about their habits. And they're just not going to be interested in following through in any way.
Mm. Yeah. And I like to, add to that, so Josh and I are here because we created the Big Change Program, which is now mm-hmm. being folded in. And one of the things that really surprised me is mm-hmm. the value of the group. Because I kind of felt like, well, the best thing would be for me to work with someone one-on-one. And then if they can't afford it, well, then we'll throw them in a group. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that it's actually the opposite, that I had people that I had been coaching one-on-one and we'd been making progress and, I'm a decent coach and people were appreciative. But then when I said, hey, why don't you come join the Big Change calls? Several people like immediately took off like a rocket because of all the things of the group, the accountability, the feeling like, Josh has this wonderful metaphor of like we're all like pulling on a tug of war and we're all in the same team. And some of us are like right near the mud pit in the middle, right? And if we lose, they're going to fall in. And some of us are like way in the back and like we could let go for a while. No one's even going to notice, but we still are beholden. We have brothers and sisters who are in danger and that we need to keep pulling for their benefit. And, I know Josh is not going to blow his own horn, so we will have to do it for him. But, Josh is the life of the party, right? He's at this, this incredible, I guess it's like a Louisiana thing, but taken to this beautiful extreme of you know, just wanting everyone to be happy, everyone to be included, everyone to be celebrating. And when Josh and I started working together, we had this dynamic in the big change calls where Josh kind of set the mood and the tone, like every, you know, like groups have different flavors to them. And it's very often like who steps up. And the way Josh naturally steps up to lead a group created this incredible, intense forward momentum for everyone that was so much greater than what even I, if I were, you know, a fantastic coach, could provide for people one-on-one. It just normalized it, and it just became this snowball effect. Josh, I'm wondering if you... I know I've just embarrassed the hell out of you, but I'm wondering if you have thoughts on that from a, you know.
Well, it's just about, it's all about community for me. Like, I mean, the plants are great and the running is great, but really the thing that runs throughout all of it for me, for the sustainability of it all, is community, right? I mean, I have community around my running, and I have community around the plant-based diet and the advocacy of it. There's different communities, the people that are more interested in the animals and people that are more interested in the health. And so my point is that it's about building community, maybe even more than one community in this new lifestyle of ours, right? And so I feel like helping to be a part of people creating that new community in their life around these new ideas is a critical component. It has been for me. And so I want to, not that I know any better, but I just want to participate as a friend inside of that activity of community building. Which is very special to me. It's something I saw my grandfather spin around this planet doing my whole life. Is just, he didn't need a reason to make a friend with a person. It was, you know, he had, but he did. He had groups around his fishing and groups around his hunting and groups around his traveling and groups around his photography that he loved to take. And, you know, and so it just feels really natural to be put in a situation where I'm asked to be friends with people is all that we're doing here. And that is an amazing thing to be able to be let loose in that manner and have someone who's a real sort of rudder and can kind of keep everything on track like Howard, I think is just a wonderful, I don't know, combination that in those settings to really sort of instill some community, but on a deep level, like more like a friendship and a kinship, if you will, around these ideas. And that's how we sort of make them indelible in creating an entirely new lifestyle. It's through the community component of it. We'll all comply to the specifics of what we know the nutrition is and the movement is, to varying degrees. At different points in the continuum. But if we have a good, safe community around these ideas and around progressing in them and orienting ourselves towards progress in them, you're kind of set for life. And that's where I find myself today. And I want to be able to share and help people get on that same boat, you know?
I think you're so right, Josh. If I can just add, you know, we know from studies that people who are making habit changes, if their partner is doing the same thing, that they're more likely to succeed. We also know that being in a supportive community improves your mental health, that improves your lifestyle. So there's so many benefits, like you said, from being a part of a community. And we also know that being surrounded by an unhealthy community is more likely to make you unhealthy. So we see it both ways. And I think creating something that's safe, as you said, and something where people can relate to each other through the process is absolutely superior to just sort of doing it on your own.
Right. And there's this real selfish component to me to where I'm trying to take my very unhealthy community to help create the very mm-hmm. unhealthy version of me and yeah. actually like go in on the offense and try to help to change them specifically. Cause I don't want to leave that community. I don't want to not be a part of that community. I love you guys, you know? I love you so much that I kind of wish you would stop eating so much Buddha and cracklings, like, cause you kind of keep kind of killing yourself. Right. And so being able to do that and having a platform to do it is just been something that's exciting to me.
I also think what's cool about what we're doing and how we're doing it is using the kind of see one, do one, teach one model, where we have folks like Josh and Howard who have actually been through their own significant lifestyle changes and are helping others now to make that change with the serious street cred that goes along with having done it. And that's what we can want to continue to do is to train and credential coaches who have done the same and can really speak to the challenges and the difficulties and the dark times in going through this. And I think that's pretty huge. I don't know that anybody else can say that any other type of program can say that they do that.
Yeah. I was thinking about that on a run recently, just sort of the dark secret of healthy lifestyle change is that it's all about the food and the movement and the stress management. And it's not at all about that. It's all about having the skills to figure out how to change your habits. And it's not at all about that. What it's really about is when you have to take it in that order, that once you start, you know, removing all of these crutches that we use to get through the day, whether it's the food or the way, you know, our other behavioral addictions that don't serve us, is what comes up is this feeling like we could be more. It's almost like the people who go, like we call it the big change program, because we discovered that what people end up doing once they start approaching their health is they, you know, they deal with limiting beliefs, they deal with demons, deal with sadness, deal with, in many cases, past trauma. And it's not like we're just trying to prevent and reverse bad things. It's like opening the door for people to really become their best, most authentic selves. And I've got to say, I'm so excited for in 6 months or a year from now, when we've got some significant organizational clients, to see how that changes the culture, to create this culture of can do, as opposed to all we want to do is basically prevent disease and lower their healthcare costs.
All right.
Yep. Totally agree.
So Olivia, CEO on the steering, where are we going?
Where are we going? Well, we're going, right now we are trying to hit the ground running with self-insured employers. So we've secured our first employer customer and have a couple others in the pipeline. But the goal is to continue to be able to bring the program to companies that whom we can help very much, on an individual level for their employees and also on a population level for their whole employee pool, and then for the company itself to remain more competitive because they are lowering costs and building a better culture overall. So that's the goal this year, to get 3 to 4 more employer customers, as well as we have a study in the works that we are planning a randomized controlled trial with 200 type 2 diabetics, which we're very excited to be able to do and demonstrate, hopefully, amazing results that will also make inroads help us make inroads with employers. We're also interested in working with health systems and, you know, having people post-discharge from the hospital, preventing readmissions and helping people truly get better, at least to a degree, much better than they would if they just maintained the status quo post-hospitalization. So those are some of the exciting things we have in the works right now. We also want to We're working to get a consortium of athletes together who are plant-based or plant-forward to help reach their communities and to have WellStart involved with that as well.
Right. And do you feel comfortable talking about sort of our risk mitigation policy regarding, you know?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, we're very confident from based on our results thus far that we can, if somebody is willing to take the steps necessary to be a part of the program, to participate, to do, you know, take the steps necessary that they're guided through, we're very confident that we can help them achieve amazing results. And so we're willing to put our money where our mouth is and say to employers, look, if you don't have an employee succeed by meeting biometric benchmarks, you know, we will basically refund most, if not all, of the cost of a program for that person. So so it's very, very low risk for the employer. And we make it easy on them. We go in there, we help, you know, we'll go talk to employees, tell them what we're offering, engage them, get them enrolled, and take them through the program. And so it's very low risk and basically very much, there's a lot of upside for the employer.
Right. And Boyana, we're also working with several plant-based doctors who are sending us, you know, their patients who, because they also have the 15-minute limitations. Can you speak to a moment to plant, because there's a lot of plant-based professionals who listen to this podcast. Can you speak to them for a minute about why they might consider pointing people in our direction?
Absolutely. So some of the great things about this program is that we are able to tailor the person's experience somewhat to whether they already have a chronic disease such as diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart disease, versus if they're at high risk. So maybe they have pre-diabetes, maybe they maybe they're overweight or obese, but they don't already have a diagnosis of diabetes and are maybe not already on medications, but we're really looking to lower the risk. So in the prevention arm, in the disease prevention arm, we offer an intensive lifestyle change program that's 12 weeks long, where we offer dietitian visits, health coach visits with you and Josh, as well as this wonderful curriculum that really offers both behavior change advice and methodology that's very actionable, very much speaks to the person, as well as some education around nutrition, movement, stress management, and so forth that people have access to when arrives on their phone daily. In the disease reversal program, so for people who already have established disease, those people would get the 12-week lifestyle change program that I've just mentioned, as well as physician visits to supplement the program. And these physician visits can be delivered by the referring physician, or it can be delivered by one of our physicians. So there's flexibility there. And I think, again, just to echo what's been said and to really emphasize some of the benefits of this program, in addition to routine clinical care, is that people are going to meet other individuals who are struggling with very similar things who they'll be able to relate to and be sort of taken on this journey with. And they're really going to develop some strong bonds and people they could potentially turn to for support. And again, what I really love about our program and why I'm so passionate about it is that it's not just about, well, this is what you should be eating. Here's your meal plan. Here are your calories a day. No, it's not about that at all. It's about a complete shift in one's mindset. And I think that's much longer lasting, has much deeper effects, and can really bring about a significant change. So I would definitely encourage all practitioners out there, physicians, dietitians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants who are working with patients, whether in a primary care setting or in a different setting, to strongly consider referring to our program, because I think we can provide excellent complementary support to what they're already receiving.
Yeah, and I just want to add one quick thing. So the 12 weeks is the intensive, and that's where a lot of the magic happens, if you will. But we have ongoing continued support that goes for a full year or beyond if necessary. So I think that that's also a really important cementing habits and making them last is obviously the key thing that we want to achieve.
Right. And Olivia, can you quickly speak to, biz dev? For people who are listening who might be able and willing to help us find employers, to help us find populations. I just want to say, this is my podcast. I've produced almost 300 episodes without charging anybody anything, without taking money from anyone. For like the people on the podcast I've never gotten paid for promoting anything that they've ever done. And this is kind of like the first time I'm going out to my community and saying, help me make a buck. And, if you're watching this and not just listening, you can see, how much money we spend on overhead for our fancy offices here. Right. So Olivia, behind you is I believe it's a purple elephant with a hat. I think you're in your daughter's room, maybe.
Yep. Yep.
Right? We're all in our spare bedrooms. Right. Putting this together. So I feel very comfortable, making the ask, partly because I know you guys so well now and I know where our hearts are. But also, how can folks help us?
So I think, anybody who is listening here probably has some appreciation for a plant-based lifestyle, for a healthy lifestyle. So one of the ways you'd be helping is really just by helping get the word out to more people in the world about it. And the other piece is helping us get, and I know that goes along with that, is getting us in the door with more employers. So if you are an employer, if you are a leader in a company, if your uncle is, if your neighbor is, if you work for a company where folks have your ear, we would love to speak with them, especially if they're self-insured. So it tends to be a larger employer, a few hundred employees or more. We would love to speak with them about bringing the program in. We can start with a limited engagement. We can start with a small number of people. We don't necessarily start working with the entire company at once if we're talking about thousands of employees. But you can help. And we have a binders arrangement where you are able to get some remuneration from that if it pans out.
All right. Well, I see we're like a minute before Boyana has to turn into a pumpkin and go to her next thing. But anything we haven't said that we should mention now?
I mean, I'll just add that I think it's a really exciting time in healthcare, and there is a huge transformation that has already started. As we addressed before, we know that there's this change coming about, and it's maybe happening slower than we'd like it to. Mm. But I think it is a very exciting time, and people are starting to recognize the fact that what's been done so far is simply not enough to address the current problems. And this is an innovative way to solve that problem, to try to come to some sort of a solution that's going to work for most people. And I'm really excited to be a part of it, and excited to work with people and other practitioners and companies who are, willing to invest in their employees and their patients and try something that's currently not the standard of care, but absolutely should be.
Right. When I'm thinking about it, like I was listening to Josh talk about, basically how accidentally something clicked for him. It reminds me of sort of like lightning, right? We all know lightning exists. We have no idea where it's going to strike or when. It's a fairly infrequent event. And then in the last 150, 200 years, we've tamed it. We now have electricity. You can plug in. And so right now, lightning is striking people like Josh, and they're spontaneously waking up to their authentic human potential. And what I would love for us to be able to do is to contribute to this vast movement that wants to turn it into something like we can plug people in. And because it's based on natural forces, because it's based on the natural human diet, because it's based on natural human movement, on the natural human capacity and need for kinship, that this doesn't have to be an uphill battle. And I couldn't be happier or more proud of working with the three of you and with all the other folks that we're collecting along the way.
Right back at you, Howard.
Yes, sir.
All right. So
I pinch myself every day.
Yeah. So this could be one of those really awkward endings that we don't have to subject all the listeners to. So I want to thank you guys so much for taking the time. And I want to thank you, the listener. I hope this didn't seem like too self-serving a commercial. You know, we're all doing this not to make a buck, but to be able to make the dollars in order to keep doing this work. So if you believe in the plant-based movement, if you believe in the movement for natural human health, you know, I feel like you'd be promoting that agenda by helping us do what we're put on this earth to do. So thank you guys so much, and thank you everybody for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Plant Yourself Podcast and you'd like to support our mission, please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. For more information about the Big Change Program, led by me and Josh Lajani and now under the umbrella of WellStart Health, you can check out either bigchangeprogram.com or wellstarthealth.com. And be sure to check out the show notes for today's episode with links to everything we talked about at plantyourself.com/261. If you're new to the show, you can catch up on 260 archived episodes over at plantyourself.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for my newsletter on how to change your health and behavior, which is called The Big Change Bulldog. If you would like to support this show, you can share this and other episodes on social media and via email. You can write a review on iTunes. I've got three beautiful new reviews this week. One from Chris Little VA says, "Not just about diet, this podcast presents a range of subjects related to lifestyle medicine. Solid scientific grounding and interesting human stories. Very engaging and insightful. Thank you, Howard." Well, thank you, Chris Little. Got another one from AlwaysGo42, specifically talking about the conversation with Cyrus and Robbie on mastering diabetes. And AlwaysGo42 writes, "I really loved the recent podcast with Cyrus Kambada and Robbie Barbaro. They did an excellent job at explaining the how and why our bodies react to healthy and unhealthy food. I've heard so many people with and without diabetes say that they need to limit or avoid fruits and starchy vegetables like potatoes because of the spike in sugar or glucose. Little do they know that the reason the glucose stays in their bloodstream is because their cells are full of fat and there's a no vacancy sign hanging on the door." Ooh, I love that. "Great job, Howard. Please keep up the good work." Thank you so much. Always go 42. I got one more for you from Mike from Tosa. "The podcast has helped keep me centered on my journey. It's difficult having been an omnivore my entire life and to stay on the new path. Howard and his guests have helped keep the seed firmly planted. There are great ideas as well as thought-provoking guests that remind me why the journey is important for my overall health. We have been plant-based since September of 2017. It was all triggered by chronic health issues that my spouse experienced as well as scary blood work results for me. We are feeling great and have noticed significant changes in our health, but we know the journey needs to continue. Howard, thanks for your work and passion. They have been a great help. Keep up the great work and fight." Mike from Tosa, thank you so much for sharing those words. Another way to support the show is to become a patron through Patreon with an ongoing contribution. You just go to patreon.com/plantyourself, or you can go to plantyourself.com and just look for the Patreon link in the right sidebar. And that really helps with the expenses. I have just placed an Amazon order, almost, an order for a new recorder and a new mixer that I think would help the some of the spikes and drops in audio volume that have been happening more and more. I think my old mixer is just getting ready to go. And the new recorder with better preamps will help me with live interviews when I travel or when someone comes out to me. You know, and if you're thinking, well, you know, you just joined a startup, why do you need a Patreon account anymore? Well, the keyword there is startup. It probably will be a year and a half before we're taking, you know, regular salaries. So this podcast still is going to be a source of income for me, hopefully, as we ramp up. In garden news, we put in a pond and we are digging new beds. We've just covered up all the Bermuda grass with dumpster dove cardboard and now putting up some wood chips over that, and then going to lay out beds and start planting things. My wife thinks that an entire bed of sunflowers this year is in our future, as is a lot of the herbs, because she's taking an herbal medicine class and is excited to grow and then harvest and make use of those plants as well. In running news, I'm excited this coming weekend, a bunch of my buddies from Louisiana are coming up to my neck of the woods to run the Umstead 100, and I'll be pacing them through what looks like miserable weather through the middle of the night on Saturday night. I may do one or two loops. That'll either be 12 or 12 and a half or 25 miles, depending on how miserable I feel like being. But, you know, it's all good until you're out there in the mud and the freezing rain. Okay, thanks, of course, to Will Ridenour for allowing me to use his beautiful song, Sabali Dawn, Dance of Peace. Check out willridenour.com for more of his beautiful Kora music. And last and most, thanks to all of you Plant Yourself podcast patrons. We got a new one this week, so if you listen all the way to the end, you'll hear her name. Kim Harrison, Lynn McClellan, Anthony Disson, Brittany Porter, Dominic Marrow, Barbara Whitney, Tammy Black, Amy Good, Amanda Hathaway, Mary Jane Wheeler, Ellen Kennelly, Melissa Cobb, Rachel Barons, Christine Nielsen, Tina Sharf, Tina Ahern, Jen Volkanovsky, David Bisnick, The Mysterious Michelle X, Elizabeth Feldman, Victoria Dolomanova, Leah Stoller, Alan Christensen, Colleen Peck, Michelle Andrew, Josina, Julian, Roland Stu Dolnick, Sarah Durkis, Ron Sturkis, Kelly Cameron, Wayne Peterson, Leanne Peterson, Janet Selby, Claire Adams, Sam Franzik, Jeanette Benham, Gil, Sarah David, Donahue, Blair, Cybert, Dorona, Vizov, Gio, and Carolyn Argentati, Jody Friesner, Ruth Ann Funderburg, Misha Rosen, Michael Lorbeck, The Equally Mysterious, Tracy Z, Alicia Lemus, Rebecca Hughes, Val Lindemann, Roger Cinnamon, Nick Harper, Stephanie Holmes, Martha Bergner, Nicole Ramsey, Susan Allen, Molly Levine, The Inscrutable Harry R., Susan Levin, The Panda Vegan, Craig Kovic, Adam Sharp, Karen Burry, Heather Morgan, Ashley Corcoran, Kelly Machia, Deanne Norton, Bonnie Lynch, Plant Happy Oregon, Sabine Kurtzels, Nigel Davies, Marion Bloom, Theresa Copel, Cheryl Rudlitz, Juliet Watkins, Reed O'Connell, Brian Sheridan, Shannon Hirschman, Kate Rosland, Daya, Julie Langholm, Hedda Gardiza, Tuzin Mock, Connie Hainlin, Aaron Greer, Alicia Davis, Hippie Villal, Heather O'Connor, Carolyn Jensen, Cherry Olakowski, Plant Bauer for Health, Karen Smith, Kami Rani's, Karen and Joe Crabtree, Teresa Kent, Tanya Lewis, Kirby Burton, Teresa Carell, Kevin McCauley, Elizabeth Rothschild, Kelly Miracle Baker, and Jesse Shelley Dwyer, and welcome to Jenny Hazelton to the family. Thank you all for your generous support of the podcast. That's it for this week. As always, be well, my friends. Let's take this home with some gratitude. First of all, thanks to Mama Earth. You have been so very, very good to me. Second, Will Ridenour donated the use of his beautiful song Sabali Dawn as the theme music for this show. You can find out more about Will's music at willridenour.com. Third, thanks to all the patrons of the Plant Yourself podcast for your financial support. You can read the names of all the patrons at any show notes at plantyourself.com. If you would like to become a patron to show your gratitude for the work I'm doing and help support it, you can do so at plantyourself.com/gift. That's G-I-F-T, all lowercase. And finally, I want to thank you, the listener, for making all of this possible, for giving me a reason to reach out to people, to have conversations, to edit, produce, publicize, all the stuff that I do is for you, so that we can continue to have conversations and continue to ripple out healing and transformation into the world.